Welcome to Keystone Conversations, our podcast on the topics and issues important to the Keystone family. Our hope is to give you insight, wisdom, and resources as you press on to know and follow Jesus. I am Brent Minter, the lead pastor of Keystone Church, and I have a super fun guest with me today. I have the one, the only, our church planning candidate, Blake Shoecraft. Welcome in, friend.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to hang out with you, and since you're here, it's only obvious that we're going to be talking about church planting, and the topic for our conversation today is recently we finally announced where we are planting a church. So if someone has their head in the sand, they don't come to Keystone, they don't follow us on social media, make it known right now.
Yeah.
Where are the Shoecrafts moving, and where are we planting a church in 2027?
Right. We are going in 2027 to Greenville, North Carolina, home of East Carolina University. Go Pirates.
Go Pirates. The Purple Pirates.
That's right.
The Purple Pirates. And so here's what's unfortunate about that. You can just in one sentence say, we're going to Greenville, North Carolina, home of East Carolina University, and it seems very simple.
Right.
Yeah. It seems very we're just going there. To get there is not simple.
Exactly.
Is that a fair statement?
That is a very fair statement.
And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk, we're going to try to bring Keystone in, the listeners into what's the process of finding a place to plant, right? It's not like we just throwing darts on a map.
That's right.
There's a lot of discernment. There's a lot of prayer, a lot of, spy mission trips,
Yeah.
And we want to talk about that process. But then, Blake, I'm also excited for you to share with folks maybe more than you can in the video of why Greenville?
Yeah.
Why East Carolina University? And some of the, defining moments of how the Lord has led you guys there. So that's kind of going to be our journey today. And so let's start off. I mean, here's where we're going. It doesn't just happen. Like, what is the process of finding a location as a church planter?
Yeah. It started actually before I even got from Kentucky to Iowa. Yeah. Obviously, if we're moving in to come plant a church, Lord willing, in 2027, the main question that I am asked more than anything else,
period,
where are you going?
Yep.
Where are you going to plant a church? And so, yeah, you're already kind of dreaming. And I know in the process when we were talking before any hiring was made, before any final decisions, you're kind of asking me, and I'm getting asked from others, like, hey, what are you thinking? Just give me a general idea. So you go in with a lot of grand dreams, I will say, without a lot of structure to help you think through what might be a good fit or not based on our personality. And so we have a vision at Salt Network to plant in the 400 major university centers in the United States.
That's right.
And we have around 40-ish right now. So I had 360 to choose from.
That's right.
So
we define that loosely, but it's very precise as 400 university centers is a 4-year university with 10,000 or more students.
That's right.
So that's a loose definition of what we mean by that.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, it's then going a lot of conversations of, I think for Abby and I, it was thinking through fit and need. Like, what's a good fit for our family? We want to put roots down in this community. A big process for us was actually you and Carrie in getting us here before we made the decision to move.
I'm interested. What was it?
I don't know if we've talked about
this.
No. One of the things that Brent and Carrie did for us was you guys drove us around and showed us Ankeny and what it's like to live in Ankeny. And while we're only here for, 2 years, roughly? I mean, just to watch how you and Carrie just love Ankeny, Iowa. And you're just like, this is the greatest place ever. There's no place I would rather be than right here than Ankeny. And I would say that's true.
Yeah. Right?
And as we're processing, part of what Abby and I were doing is as we're taking people to a location, do we have that same level of, we love it here?
Yeah.
My goodness, like this is the best possible place you could ever live mm-hmm. is this location. And so we tried to use that as far as a fit for our family as a metric
wow.
of how could we envision others coming to this place and how would we talk about it? How would we bring the excitement that you guys did for us to see the vision of how great Ankeny is and a great place yeah. that is to live and put down roots?
Yeah, that's fun to hear you say that. But I think it's really important when we're doing ministry, because at the end of the day, while I'm a pastor of a church, I mean, maybe it's just the way God wired me, I'm categorically a missionary to the mm-hmm. city of Ankeny.
Exactly. Yes.
So I know that we have a big building and mm-hmm. all that nonsense, but I never want to lose, like, you know, part of both of our stories. We thought that there'd be a period of our life where we'd live in Eastern Asia.
Yeah.
In East Asia. And so it's like, you got to, like, I don't ever want to lose that missionary
that's right.
drive. So yeah. anyways.
Yeah. yeah, that's a big part of it. You know, we wanted to have a place that was a good fit for us. We want to put down roots there, but also the gospel need, because we do see ourselves as we're missionaries to that city and that campus. And we believe like that God is putting us in a place to make disciples and send out laborers into the harvest.
So
that's what we want to do.
That's great. And that, you know, the thing I jokingly talk about our plans is there's an existential crisis.
Always.
Because guys who are going to plant churches with us are super excited to do ministry. And for the first 3 to 6 months they're here, there's this, you don't know what you're going to do next. And watching driven, godly men have to sit and wait without answers is a beautiful thing.
Yes. Yes. It's the hardest part of the process thus far.
Yeah.
I would say we had many conversations about that.
Hey,
I want to run.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. You know? It's like, we got to figure this out. So yeah. 360.
Yep.
Campuses left. I wonder who, you know, it'd be really interesting when the last one comes and there's like, there's no choice, dude. This is it.
Yeah. This is where you're going.
But so where's the fit and need?
Mm-hmm.
So that's still a huge question mark that doesn't have a lot of answers
that's
or how
right.
you go through. So one of the things, we actually have some tools
mm-hmm.
that help along this process. Why don't you kind of discuss one of the things that you guys walk through that yeah. we let you guys, we come from the network, but we've done it multiple times, multiple planters now.
Yeah. So one of the things that was helpful was Location Grid that we use as a network. That was really good. So it gives us basically a framework of some categories to think through as you were considering a fit for you as a planter.
Yeah.
What would this work along with your sending church? So like we're looking at categories, the distance from the sending church, the location match between the planter's gifting and experience.
Yeah.
The missiological distance from the church. So is this a college city? Is this a city with a campus? Is this just a college town?
Yep.
Like what are we looking at there? And then what's the need and how do we feel about it? And how did the elders of the church feel about it as well? Like we started looking at those things to try to go, because as you and I had conversations, there's some places that were genuinely interesting to us, but maybe didn't fit our personality. Like for example, I'm a dude from Kentucky. I probably wouldn't do well in Boston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and a small town in Kentucky.
That's right.
And that actually gives you a missional advantage to some areas.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? You know, the easiest way to talk about this is most church planters come in with like only need. And they're willing to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. Like, those are kind of verses that we've memorized.
That's right.
So willing to do whatever it takes for the need. And they're not ignoring their experience, but it's a really helpful process to go, but what are you good at? What do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where if I put you in the environment, you know immediately what to do.
That's
so
right.
A great example in the negative side, maybe a hard is like, if you grew up in a town of 200 in the middle of Wyoming and you say, I want to plant a church in Manhattan, I'm not saying God couldn't say that. Okay? Because in the Bible, donkeys speak.
Yeah.
So God can do whatever he wants to
That's
do.
That's right.
But you got a lot to learn from the ranch in Wyoming
That's
to
right.
the complexities, like economic, racial, societal ills that are happening in New York City.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so what we want to do is, to the degree that we can, put someone in a place that is most mm-hmm. aligned with what they've experienced and what they know and the languages they speak most fluently.
That's right. Yeah. So that was helpful for us to narrow that down. And once we, that took the 360, which is a very unmanageable number.
Yeah.
And we were able, through some tools and resources and just thinking through location and like different states that yep. would be a good fit. And we got that down to about 33, I think was our number that we were like, okay, these are firm, like we're willing to explore what these might look like. Yep.
Lots of spreadsheets.
A lot of spreadsheets. My goodness.
Yeah, lots of miles on a rental car, right?
Yes.
And I mean, how many campuses did you visit?
We ended up visiting 12 campuses, I believe.
And some of those trips will be like, there's multiple
campuses
in multiple spots. You kind of geographically know some places to look. I know people will, after this podcast, ask you, what were they?
Yeah, yeah.
What were the ones that were really close? And we had multiple conversations with city leaders. Me and I were on conversations with city leaders, trying to determine need partnerships and all those sorts of things. And I mean, do you remember the moment where either, like, just a, it might not be the final decision moment, but can you remember when East Carolina, Greenville kind of was like, oh?
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those, we actually come in without any, East Carolina was not on the list.
Wasn't on the list of 33.
No.
That's awesome.
And because we were not really thinking North Carolina. It's a great state to live in. We were just looking in other areas.
Yep.
And then as we started narrowing down, just that one popped up. I started looking at NC and was like, ECU looks kind of cool. And then so we added that to our list. And just as we're making decisions and narrowing things down and looking, that one just kind of kept coming up to the top. And then, it was actually at conference, was at that point where we were like, oh, man, I think we know where we're going.
That's wild.
Which was great. We actually visited Greenville, and we were thinking, man, this is a cool spot.
Yep.
We like this. This is the things that we are putting on paper and saying, these are categories we care about. These are things we're looking for. It is meeting all of those requirements that we're looking, gospel need, good fit for us. And that conference, we just found ourselves really just talking most about North Carolina and ECU than some of our other options on the table, which were great options.
Yeah.
And we just found the Lord using others and just our desire and stuff, just shaping us towards that. And he made that abundantly clear. And post-conference, Abby and I, we were like, are we going to ECU? And
are we doing this?
Are we doing this? And Abby's like, I think we are. Okay.
I love it. And we'll talk a little bit some more at the back of this, of like the ways I feel like God is kind of like, you know, I don't know that I like the phrase, I don't dislike it, but like God's just kind of winked at you and said, this is like he's kind of confirmed that in a lot of different ways. But let's just talk really quickly, why Greenville? And then we'll talk about why the campus. But like take us a tour around Greenville. I mean, I know you've spent now some more time there and you're getting to know it, but what when you're at Greenville, did you see, oh, I'm excited about this?
Yeah, so Greenville is East North Carolina, Eastern Carolina. So you are an hour to an hour and a half from the coast.
All right.
So that's helpful.
Not bad.
That's not bad. You're close to a beach. That's not the main thing, but that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we really liked is it is a very influential city for the region.
Okay.
It is a growing economic, healthcare, just hub and kind of a cultural hub of Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah.
There's a lot of influence that happens in that city, which makes it very strategic. And that's one thing we like. So there's a lot of attraction as far as North Carolina is, I believe, the second fastest growing state in the U.S.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people moving to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Greenville is not an exception to that. And so what we're seeing is just a lot of momentum in the city, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
When there's a lot of movement happening, people get excited about that.
Yeah.
And so we're noticing that. There's construction everywhere. If there is an empty lot, it is being developed into something.
Yeah.
There are no open fields. It reminds me a lot of Ankeny in many ways. And so we're seeing this of, hey, there's just a lot of excitement being generated in the city, but also, and you experiences this as well, it doesn't feel big, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like skyscraper, major metro, but it is a major metro.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful in-betweener. It has everything without all the big city problems.
That's right.
And at least that's, my exposure is really small, but that's...
Yeah, and that's the same thing we felt of, okay, this has big city amenities with small town charm.
Yeah.
It's got the nice, cute downtown. It's got a gorgeous campus. You can walk around. It's got the riverfront, like all the charming things. But then also, like, you want all the amenities. You want Trader Joe's. You want your Targets. You want all that stuff. It's there for you.
That was a flex, because we can't get a Trader Joe's in Ankeny, but you got one.
I had to throw that in there. Yeah.
So I think, it's a beautiful thing. And one thing that I thought about when we were driving into the campus is, like, there are cities that are college towns, mm-hmm. and then there's cities, like, Ames, Iowa is a college town.
That's right.
Okay? You go to other places, it's a city with a college. Mm-hmm. Like, I think of Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
Columbus, Ohio is a massive city,
yes.
and it has a campus. Like, so if you're planting a church there, that takes another uniqueness. I feel like what's fun about Greenville is it's significantly bigger than Ames, but it still feels like a college town.
That's right.
So when you drive in, if you're far away from campus, you're still seeing the Pirates. You're still seeing ECU. Like, the city still has that vibe, but it's a little bit larger.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one thing I like to talk about with ECU is, like, Greenville bleeds for that campus.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is one of those places, if you roll in there with a UNC Tar Heel blue or a Duke Blue Devils, or more likely like an NC State since they're closer rivals.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do that.
You know, you can't go in there. But it has the infrastructure and things that where a lot of graduates are staying there because of the size of the city and the way that it can handle. They can get careers and establish families and put down roots there, which is a very unique blend that you don't often get in a lot of cities that we looked at.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a big one. And then I would also add just the need. I mean, we're in North Carolina. This is like Bible Belt area.
Yep.
And there are just not there's not solid, healthy churches there that meet that size of city.
Yeah.
It was just a very I would say, how I would put it is a church-saturated area, but not a gospel-saturated area.
Got it.
There was a lot of just unhealthy church going on in that city. And as we were communicating with state leaders and other pastors in the area, you know, they're affirming the things that we're seeing, because we're asking those kind of questions, and they're saying, like, you're getting this right. Like, we need gospel preaching churches.
I love it. And so what's interesting is, even if the church is a little bit there, but another uniqueness is, when we think about planting churches, we always start about campuses. But if you think about church planting outside of the collegiate context, the number one places you're looking are places that are growing. Because if we're not adding churches to those populations, there's not enough churches. So talk a little bit about, like, from the state perspective. You said that North Carolina is growing, one of the second fastest growing state in the nation. Talk about a little bit how that's what's happening with Greenville, and especially related to the Triangle and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So what's going on is Greenville is very close to the Raleigh area, the Raleigh metro.
Close, an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, and that's called the Research Triangle. Yeah. So that it is incredibly fast growing. So we're talking about, I mean, I think it's about 11% growth. I mean, it's just incredible. Yeah.
Major
movement.
Metropolitan area.
Exactly.
High growth.
And so what's causing that is people are getting priced out of Raleigh.
Yeah.
But there's huge jobs and economic opportunities there. So what's happening is people are moving to Greenville, and there's just a lot of movement happening here. So I think if I'm understanding your question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Greenville's metro population, for example, right now is 180,000 in the metro. By 2027, the year we plant, it's estimated to be between 190 and 200.
Yeah.
In two years.
I got to that question because there's need.
Exactly.
So that's right. So even if there was enough churches for what was today,
exactly,
there's still, you know, 10, 20,000 people coming in the next 3 years.
Exactly.
And so there is a significant need among people. And that's actually something that we've experienced at Keystone. Ankeny's growing. And as people move, they're in a transition and they're looking for stability. And so I think that's another huge thing there.
Yeah.
So any other things about Greenville?
No, I would.
No, it's great. So yeah. I think it's a super fun city. I didn't get to spend tons of time in the city, but we did get to spend a lot of time on the campus. And mm-hmm. so talk to us a little bit about East Carolina University, the Pirates. Like, what's going on there? What did you notice? And why are you excited to establish the first salt company in North Carolina there?
Yeah. So ECU is about 27,000 students. It's just over 27,000 students there. And it is a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
It made me really proud when you said that was your second favorite. That was a big deal.
I won't tell the rest of our planters they fall in that.
That's okay. We will just own that part right there. I think a couple things. Of a campus of 27,000, there are certain things that we would expect in the state collegiate ministry-wise to be occurring on that campus.
Yeah.
And what we noticed that was that comparatively to other universities like NC State or UNC Chapel Hill, for example, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Like, so the amount of students that are there and the collegiate ministry, we're talking about less than 2% were being reached across all lines, just somewhere in the umbrella of a Christian ministry.
Yeah.
There was less than 2% being engaged on a weekly basis, which tells us there is a huge gap here for just a salt company to come into this place and reach college students.
Yeah.
And one thing that I loved about this is there are revivals already happening on this campus. The spiritual temperature is so high. You can actually look it up now, ECU Student Revival. You can find it on YouTube. And fraternities. I mean, we're talking about fraternities and Greek life here.
Yeah.
Instead of throwing parties, they were throwing these things called Nights of Hope this fall and having revival speakers like evangelists come in and share the gospel with students.
Mm-hmm.
And people are coming to faith.
Yeah.
And there's not a collegiate ministry in church saying like, hey, we know how to bring people in to give discipleship. There are ministries there doing that,
I'm sure.
Like, of course.
But not enough. Yeah,
like, we're talking about thousands of students who are experiencing their college life. And
we rejoice in those moments where God might save someone in a night of hope or 100%. An evangelist comes out. We rejoice. But a part of our SALT network is we believe the best growth of a college student is in the local church.
That's right.
And not just at a coffee table. Praise God that people 100%. Are getting discipled. But our hope is to get them in the church and get to see a vision of how the spiritual family can work together. You know, so So even of those that are doing collegiate ministry, not all of them, in fact, far fewer, are actually connected inside the life of a church where they can experience all of that together.
Exactly. And that's what we want to do. Your college years, I mean, for some 4 years, for some like me, it's a little bit longer because you weren't the best student, but it's one of those times of it's going to end.
Yeah.
So we want you to be invested in the body of Christ, in the church, and not just this is a college experience that I had.
Yeah.
And so there was a huge need in that.
Yeah.
And that was one of those we were like, okay, this is a big need here.
Yeah. I believe it. And it is a beautiful campus, certainly in a beautiful spot of the nation. You're an hour and a half from the beach. I don't know how long from the mountains, but I've been in
2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah, so I've been in those North Carolina mountains multiple times. And so it's a beautiful space, but at the end of the day, there's need. The community is growing, lots of transition, and transition means gospel opportunity in my mind.
Yes, yes.
And there's also a campus. I mean, 27,000, I think Iowa State, just to get your mind around it, Iowa State's 30-31. So think of like Iowa State-ish. That's the size and the influence of that campus in the state of North Carolina. And man, what a gift it's going to be. So that's a little bit why Greenville. Why East Carolina University? Like, you guys have made a decision. Like, give some of the stories. It's kind of fun to hear some of the stories of how God just has kind of confirmed, even though, like, in moments, you were the only ones knowing what God was doing in you and Abby's heart. We had had some conversations, but it was not even remotely public.
Yeah.
And some things that God has done to kind of just confirm and go ahead and before you guys.
Yeah. Man, there's so many stories I could share here.
Yeah, give us one or two.
I think one that was super impactful was at conference. I did a 2027 breakout, and we had not announced location. We had not firmly decided where we're going, but we were leaning North Carolina. Those conversations.
And there was still another one in the running.
There was.
We were still leaning, but it was,
That's right. And so we're trying to discern that, and I had a student come up to me, and it was so great. He said, "Hey, I know you said you don't have the location picked yet, but you have a specific state that you're kind of leaning towards. I just want you to know I'm a junior at Iowa State, and I'm wanting to go to PT school when I graduate, but I want to leverage it on a church plant," which is how cool, man. Yeah, that's great. Awesome. And so he said, "I've literally been praying through each state to figure out where God might be leading me." And he's like, "Dude, I cannot get the state of North Carolina out of my mind. So if you're going there, I'm just saying I would be interested." I'm like, wow, okay. And so we start having a conversation. I'm like, just curious, like, is there any particular university that you are considering or you're thinking of? Like, just walk me through, like, how you're processing this. And he goes, "Well, there's a few in North Carolina, but I really like East Carolina University." I'm like, whoa, okay.
What is happening?
Yeah. You know, so things like that where God is just like, I think Troy calls them the fingerprints of God moment, where you're just like, okay, Lord, that's not coincidental.
Yeah.
And we had a few things like that happen where people are saying, "Hey, you know, I've got family in the Raleigh area and we're wanting to move closer. So I know you guys haven't announced, but if you're thinking like a North Carolina or somewhere close, like we would be really interested." Like, okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, we're in Iowa. How many people are connected to North Carolina, you know?
I'll never get over it. Every single time. I mean, I remember us saying we're going to plant a church in Bowling Green. I'm like, no one's going to have connections there. And lo and behold, through the network and through other things, people are like, "You've got to be kidding me."
Yeah.
Like, there are founding members of that church that God suddenly, like, they got a job offer for Bowling Green. The next day they found out we're planting a church in Bowling Green. And by the way, they lived in Indiana. They were a part of another church. It's like, God, how do you do this kind of thing?
It
how
is so
in the
incredible.
World? And he's done it every single time.
Yeah.
He's just done it every single time.
It's so encouraging to watch because you do have that moment of like, are we making the right decision? Like, you know, we've prayed about this. We're fasting. Like, we're seeking the Lord in this process. And then for the Lord to affirm these through through others and just people coming to us and going, "Hey, by the way," you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's do this.
It. Well, Blake, there's so much more we could talk about, but just really quickly before we're done, how can we be praying for you and Abby and Remy, but also just the church plant and just the work ahead?
Yeah, I would say pray that we steward our time here well.
Yeah,
and we continue to just build kind of the scaffolding of the plant that we are all in with Keystone, that we're not putting one foot in the boat and one foot out. We want to spend our time here wisely and build deep wells and deep relationships with those. And I think we've been doing that, but I want to keep doing that.
Yeah.
And so that's one. Pray for us. Pray for ministry. We'd be faithful and honor the Lord in our work and our preparation. Two, I would say pray to just take that first step of potentially going on a vision trip, praying that like God would use maybe your circumstances or your life to potentially go on our launch team because we do need people to uproot their lives and go. That's a big deal for us. And we know the Lord has the right people to go.
Yep.
And just for people to pray, "Lord, here am I. Would you send me?
Yeah.
Is it us in this season?" And so, just wanting to take that first step. And then, finally, I would just pray that we have the right partners and the right people coming along and that city would come to know the Lord, that we'd be able to put down roots and reach that campus and reach that city with the gospel. Mm-hmm. We have big vision, big dreams for this place,
Yeah.
But we can't do it in our own strength.
Totally.
Like, this is completely the Lord, and we have to spend time just in prayer and seeking the Lord and His counsel and His wisdom, because only God can do this.
Yeah. Well, Keystone, I hope you're celebrating with Blake and Abby, and we certainly, the elders, are excited for what God's doing and see how He's already meeting you in the midst of it. So pray for Blake, and I would just encourage you, get to know him, ask questions. Even if you don't go, you can still pray and you know, join the battle line in that regard with him. So Blake, thanks so much for coming by and letting us know about East Carolina University and Greenville. We can't even say the church because you don't have a church name yet.
We're working on it.
That's the next existential crisis.
That's
planters
right.
lose their mind over the church, over the name of the church. So Keystone, thanks so much for being a part of our conversation today. If you'd like to know more about Keystone in general, hear sermons, or listen to more conversations, please visit KeystoneLife.com. Until next time, keep the conversation going.